Chapter 18.
Boss was late. Again. Kenobi settled in to wait at the bar on level 1313. One of these days, he mused, Boss would show up on time. Kenobi wondered if his heart could bear the shock. The minutes ticked by. Still no Boss. When 2 hours had crawled past, and Kenobi had been forced to consume more alcohol than he had really desired, and what passed for a meal to go along with it, he finally gave up. He activated his comlink.
Master Obi-Wan, to hear from you, surprised I am.
Master Yoda, I am troubled by something, and I wish to speak privately with you.
To the temple return, and speak we shall.
When Kenobi entered Yoda's quarters, he found the Jedi Master sitting in meditation next to a small fountain designed with crystals known as singing stones. They emitted soft sounds, something between a chime and a stringed instrument, as water flowed over them. Kenobi usually found the resulting music deeply soothing, as was the scent of special oils heated over small flames. But today, even their influence did not dispel his sense of worry. Yoda did not open his eyes.
Welcome you are, Obi-Wan. Across from me, please sit.
Kenobi obeyed, and managed to calm his thoughts at least somewhat. A few moments later, Yoda spoke again.
Clouds your heart, this concern does. Speak of it, you will.
Obi-Wan bit his lip. Master Vos did not show up for our appointed meeting. I fear that something has happened.
Sense something in the Force, do you? A vision you have had?
Obi-Wan shook his head. No. But there was something off about him the last time we met. He was guarded. I could sense it. Although he behaved like his usual self. And he used words that... He paused, searching. At the time, I simply thought that the challenge of the mission was starting to wear on him. But in retrospect, Master Yoda, he may have placed too much trust in Ventress. She may have discovered who he really is. Yoda's ears curled in slight surprise.
Gone on many undercover missions, Quinlan Vos has. Carefree he is, but careless he is not. Possible it is that attached he has grown. Always a risk, there is.
Vos? He never has before.
When one trusts another with his life, forged a bond is. In this position, neither Vos nor Ventress has been.
He did say they were working well as a team.
And I have always known that Ventress lets us see just what she wishes us to. She's a complex individual. I can only imagine what it must be like to be in such constant contact with her as Vos has been.
And now, contact him you cannot.
Kenobi nodded.
I probably should have come to you the moment I had concerns, or else just voiced them to Vos. But it seems so ludicrous to be worried about word choices and a vague sense of unease. Vos isn't a Padawan, he's a master. He didn't deserve to have suspicion fall on him for such trivial things.
More to say you have, but not on this subject.
Kenobi frowned, then nodded. Yes. I had misgivings from the beginning about this entire enterprise. I still believe that sending a Jedi to assassinate a man was wrong. And I fear that I will likely lose not only a fellow Jedi master, but someone I consider a friend. And we will have nothing to show for such a loss. Yoda rose, picked up his cane, and went to his friend. Gently, he laid a small hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder.
Disagree with you, I do not. But now, in motion things are, and stopped they cannot be. All must proceed as the Force wills it. Sometimes it is a dark path we must tread, so that long more for the light we shall.
Kenobi placed his own hand over Yoda's. He did not ask if it was Vos or the Jedi Order that was treading the dark path, because in his heart, He didn't want to know the answer. "May the Force be with him," was all he said.
"Here we go."
Ventress hit the controls, and the Banshee dropped out of hyperspace.
"Keep your eye on the comm channels."
"On it," Voss replied. "I hope some Din's clearance code is accurate, or this could get very interesting very quickly."
"It will be. Some Din is thorough. Transmitting now."
Ventress angled the vessel to merge smoothly with a moderately heavy flow of space traffic heading toward Raxus. Up ahead was the checkpoint, a blockade of massive vessels. Voss kept his eyes on the comm channel as they passed close by one of the enormous ships.
"We're cleared," he said. "One potential disaster averted. All we need to do now is get into the event, find Dooku, and kill him. Piece of cake."
He rose from his seat behind her and leaned against her chair.
"One more thing to do before all of that," Ventress said. "We need to make a quick stop in Tamworth Bay."
"Tamworth Bay? I thought Dooku's party was being held in Raxilon."
"It is. We have to purchase clothing first," Ventress said. "Tamworth Bay is still a major city, but it's quite a distance from Raxilon. There will be less security."
"I wouldn't have pegged you for the shopping type."
She leaned out of her chair to give him a withering look.
"Were you planning on just walking into a 20,000 credit a plate gala event looking like this?"
Voss whistled.
"That much? Hope we have time for dinner. Just don't ask for my opinion on footwear."
"Don't worry. You have the fashion sense of a Wookiee."
Voss glanced down at the well-worn leather outfit he'd worn since forever. Whenever he wasn't in his Jedi robes, this was what he reached for. It offered decent protection. He could move freely in it, and it didn't draw undue attention.
In his usual circles, at least. "But black goes with everything."
Ventress snorted.
"Leave it to me."
She took them to an establishment that catered to the sort of people who would be attending the ludicrously priced gala. In short order, Voss was fitted with black trousers, comfortable leather boots, and a white tunic with bold golden stripes.
"The contrast with your skin coloring is most striking," the tailor assured Voss, finally letting him see himself in the mirror.
His dark skin seemed to glow against the hues of the tunic. Its crisp, tailored line and the knife-sharp creases of the trousers accentuated his long legs, broad shoulders, and narrow waist.
"Huh,"
he said.
"Not bad."
"Agreed," said Ventress.
She eyed him in a manner that made his heart skip a beat, and he grinned at her.
"Well, if my lady likes it, I'll take it."
To Ventress, he said,
"What about you?"
She held up a bag.
"I already found something while you were getting the trousers fitted. Let's go."
"Let me see."
"We don't have time for dolly dress-up,"
she retorted, and Voss knew better than to argue. The flight from Tamworth Bay to Raxilon was quick. Voss didn't even have time to get his new outfit dirty. As the sun set over the beautiful capital city of Raxus, casting warm rose and lilac hues on the tall spires, Ventress vectored them into dock, not at the main port, but at a smaller, lesser-used one. It was efficient enough. The droids that rolled up to begin refueling and cleaning the Banshee looked like fairly new models, and the place was clean. It was, however, obviously a local landing pad, not one meant for the rich, famous, and powerful. And Ventress and Voss were the only ones currently making use of it. Voss stepped outside and took a careful look around, just to make sure. A few moments later, he heard the clack-clack of heels. He turned around.
"So, let's see this..."
He fell into a stunned silence. Voss thought he had seen Asajj Ventress in all her guises. He'd seen the efficient warrior, the cold rager, the temptress practicing both the wink and the nod and the full-on gambit. And most beautiful and most amazing of all, he'd seen her by starlight. Just her,
lying in his arms. But this was something else again. She wore a two-piece, sleeveless bodice of rich, ebony-hued fabric, with hints of a subtle swirling pattern of dark purple embroidery. Lacing of the same deep purple cinched it closed. The top section enclosed her breasts and revealed a small patch of her taut stomach. The bottom section flared over her hips. A midnight black skirt, slit in front and back, fell to the floor. She had just finished concealing her lightsaber in a band around one slender but powerful thigh. As she straightened, their eyes met. The outfit was elegant and subtle, and the woman in it was vibrant and strong. The overall effect made Voss like a falcon poised in that exquisite instant between free fall and flight. And for a moment, he couldn't breathe. He gulped air and said,
You look...
Emotions flitted across Ventress's face. Annoyance, pleasure, and something he'd never thought to see there. Embarrassment.
Go ahead, spit it out,
she muttered.
You look like a goddess of love and war and hope and ecstasy, like a glimmering star that I've somehow been blessed to hold, like the rest of my life.
Nice. He wanted to kick himself. Ventress rolled her eyes.
No wonder you Jedi are so frustrated, she said. As I said earlier, this unfortunate outfit is necessary for our mission.
Voss tried and failed to wipe the grin off his face as she descended the ramp. He pulled her into his arms and murmured against her long, slender neck.
I'm liking this mission more and more.
Before Ventress could deliver a no-doubt scathing retort, she turned her head sharply. Voss followed her gaze, but he saw nothing.
You expecting someone?
Some din.
At the sound of her name, the Gossam stepped out of the shadows. Ventress went to meet her, kneeling in front of the much shorter Saurian. Some din looked at Voss for a moment, then Ventress.
Why is Octito alive?
She inquired. Ventress nodded.
Yes, everything has gone smoothly so far. Where are the passes?
Some din held up two small engraved cards.
I'm sure it wasn't easy,
Ventress agreed. She smiled.
You've done well. Thank you. Your loyalty will not be forgotten.
She leaned forward and placed her left hand on Sumdin's shoulder, squeezing gently. A sudden blur, a familiar snap hiss, and Sumdin crumpled without a sound. There was a smoking hole in her torso. Ventress's face was calm as she extinguished her lightsaber and rose. The murder had happened so fast that Voss had barely had time to register it, let alone stop it.
What are you doing? He cried. She helped us!
Ventress's voice was cold.
Remember what I taught you, Voss. No compassion. No loose ends. She doesn't matter. All that matters is what we came here to do. There must be nothing, absolutely nothing, to stand in our way now. We've come too far.
Still reeling, Voss looked down at the tiny, crumpled form. Sumdin had been, no doubt, a professional informant, selling her knowledge to the highest bidder.
But she had also been a person.
She didn't deserve to be summarily executed when she had done everything she had promised. But had the Moran refugees deserved to be blown to bits in space? Did any of Dooku's unwilling subjects deserve slow, painful deaths of starvation or random murder at the whim of someone they had displeased? What if Sum Din had been playing both sides? Anguished, Voss closed his eyes for a moment. It tore him up inside, but Ventress was right. They needed to ruthlessly eliminate anything that might prevent them from carrying out their mission. Dooku must die.
He hoped that some Dins would be the final death that could be laid at the evil Count's feet. Wordlessly, he picked up the body, thinking that some Din weighed no more than little Vram had. And that thought made him angry. He held on to that anger as they headed to the gala, letting it fuel him for what lay ahead.